Hey everybody, welcome to In Focus Video. I'm Joseph Foyball here in Denver, Colorado with my friend and co-host Adam Goldberg. Hey Adam, how you doing, man?
Hey Joe, good to see you this week. How's things? I'm good here.
Good, man, good. Yeah, just, you know, Denver, sunny, always sunny in
nice.
Denver. Yeah, and yeah, how are things going for you out there?
Good, good. No complaints. Life is good. So, you know, summer here in Atlanta, keeping busy and just enjoying summer.
Nice, man. Well, cool. Well, so, yeah, I don't know. You know, I was going to say I just got back in town, so this is fun to kind of get going here again on another episode. And this one I think is going to be a fun one. I'm excited to talk about this week's episode. And this is going to be a two-part series. So, you know, involving a bit of editing and night photography. So I thought that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, I think that's something that folks always want to do and kind of see these amazing images from beautiful landscapes with, you know, mountains or ocean with the Milky Way and stuff, you know, looking right. All pretty and stuff. So I think this is a good episode for our audience to kind of have you talk through your process, how you go about, you know, prepping for the image, capturing it, and then doing some of those edits.
Exactly. So that's going to be in this, you know, part one is going to be talking about a little bit, you know, the basics and the background of night sky photography and how I go about, you know, setting these up. And then we'll look at some of these images and then, you know, kind of select and mask. And then we will work on the actual editing portion of it later on. But yeah. Definitely. I think, and then also too, because we just had the comet NEOWISE come through and I think a lot of people got out and photographed that, myself included. So I think this is just going to be a really relevant topic to help people move forward with their night photography because it is so challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, I think Sony's just announced a new Astro camera. Is that right?
They did. The A7S III. Yeah. Just pre-orders available now. I saw Hunt's Photo sent out a link for that I got the other day. It's $3,500 for the body, which actually isn't that terrible if you're into night work and video work especially.
Yeah, and Canon has a R camera as well, RA for Astro. So I think it's interesting that, you know, two of the leading camera companies in kind of the mirrorless market have made that jump to a real specialty Astro camera. But yeah. I think the nice thing is that you don't need one to get a really good shot. Certainly if like I said, if that's your focus, you know, those cameras are, at least in the Canon, they're available and Sony, it's going to be available here soon. You know, those options are available to you. But again, the other option is to just use the camera that you have. And I think, Joe, you're going to show that with the camera you have, even if it's not dedicated to astrophotography, you can still get some pretty sweet stuff.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, nobody really has a dedicated Astro camera. It's so hard to have dedicated cameras unless you've got the coin in the pocket to have those specifics. Otherwise,
I have not won the lottery recently, so
no,
I don't have a camera specific for each,
I know,
each individual discipline.
Right. Exactly. And so that's the same with me, you know, and what I look for is I just try to look at utilizing the gear that I have. The camera, you know, the best camera is the camera you have with you. And so, you know, with this, me and these images here, this image that we're going to work on or I'm going to show today was captured on a D600 Nikon, which is pretty old. And, you know, in today's terms, it's, you know, it's a dinosaur. But shooting, you know, properly, you can still achieve really great results. And so this image or these images, they were captured on a Nikon D600. And then their older 17 to 35 millimeter F2.8. And that's the big, you know, the big, pretty important factor, I would say, though, like, if you don't have a specific camera, having that more 2.8 aperture is pretty important. I mean, you can get away with the F4 and increase your ISO. But like I said, in our previous episode last week, night settings of ISO 1600 or, you know, 2500, 3200, that's really kind of where you want to stay. You know, there's Starry Night Stacker that a lot of guys and gals are using today to composite multiple shots taken at really high ISO. And this system, the software averages out. But if you're going for one shot, foreground and sky, this is today's topic on how to do that with the camera you have.
Cool. I like it. So you're going to take us into Lightroom here first, right?
I will. So, you know, generally, yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go into Lightroom and then we'll look at these images here and, you know, I'll discuss a little bit more of the camera settings, you know, while we're looking at them, because I think it'll be more relevant then, and then Photoshop, and we'll kind of crack this out.
Awesome. Cool. Let's do it. Cool.
All right, man. Let's do it. Cool. All right. So here are the two photographs that, you know, I want to work on in, you know, in this editing session. So when I take a photograph, a night sky image, I am going more along the lines of, I am not trying to light paint. I'm not trying to take a flashlight and illuminate the foreground. I'm wanting to go with a grand landscape blending in the sky. So I have found this really amazing formation. This is Shiprock in New Mexico. And I was in this position for a full day. I had utilized PhotoPills, the app on the iPhone and Android you can get in the App Store, the Google Play Store. And I was able to utilize the augmented reality for the night sky, and I knew exactly where the Milky Way was going to align at a certain time of the day. So with that, I found my composition at, like, say, noon in the afternoon, you know, 12 p.m. And then I sat there and read a book. And I waited until twilight, or the blue hour, if you will. So this image on the left is photographed at base ISO of 100, just an F10, you know, quick shutter speed, focused at infinity, because the way I photographed this, all I needed was one photograph for Shiprock and made sure it was sharp. And then I waited, and I took multiple shots to get this photograph of the Milky Way on the right to get it to where I really wanted it to be. And that was at, I think it was only about 10:30 PM. So I wanted it coming straight up off the right-hand side of Shiprock just to create a really dramatic and compelling image. And then this is the final edit. And so this will be what we'll be working towards. But in this, today's first round is going to be how to take, you know, images of your blue hour, which is right after the sun goes down, and then taking your night sky photography or photograph and putting them together.
Yeah, no, so, I think this will be great. And, you know, it sounds like for what you were really doing here, it was important to have a pretty sturdy tripod too, because like you said, you didn't want this camera to move at all, because like I said, you had been taking photos earlier in the day. And, yeah, you know, got to read some books, which is always exactly a nice bonus of landscape photography when you get that downtime. But, you know, for the, whatever time from when you hit this kind of blue hour twilight to when that Milky Way is, you know, really rising nicely behind Shiprock, you didn't want anything to bump that camera or move it in any way.
Correct. And so that's the other thing here. Thanks for mentioning that. So really, so this is one of the key components is, you do not move your camera or your tripod. So I took this photograph, you know, on the left, I said, you know, twilight right after sun, the blue hour, right when the sun goes down. And then the image on the right, I left my camera in position. That was it, you know, completely untouched. And then I just changed my settings to then go from F10 to F2.8. And then I went and upped my, I went to manual mode instead of aperture priority, and I went to ISO 2500, at, or sorry, 3200 at 20 seconds on this image on the right. So F2.8, 20 seconds, ISO 3200.
Cool, gotcha, thanks for sharing that.
Yep, you bet. And so with this though, so these two photographs here, the only things, you know, unless I really need to do some adjustments in Lightroom, but for this here, that actually looks pretty good. What I'm really going to do is on both of these images here, all I like to do and make sure I do is the chromatic aberration in the develop module, and then also doing, you know, the profile corrections on these two. And so I just like to make sure I mention that. And so just double checking these two and making sure those are done. And then I open them in Photoshop with the right click and edit in, open as layers. And then that will then open these two photographs in Photoshop, which will be our next step here.
Yeah, no, that's good. And those two kind of like lens correction things, the chromatic aberration and the lens profile, are under the lens correction tab.
They are
in Lightroom. So if you don't see that available on your panel on the right hand side, you can go to view at the top and make sure that that's there. But I think it's there by default in the panel. So you might just need to scroll down a little bit to that lens correction tab on the right hand side panel.
It should be. And it is down here and is towards the bottom in this main editing panel here on the right hand side. And it is lens corrections. And so as you can see here, I'm scrolling. This is your general overall adjustments panel. You know, you have your curves. And as you just keep coming down, then you've got your lens corrections right there.
Cool. Well, thanks for that. So you already have these images ready in Photoshop. Right?
I do. I have taken and I have opened them. And what I wanted to do was leave them in the exact order as Photoshop opens these in, because I wanted to then show why it's important to rearrange your layers, or for me anyway. And so I wanted to show the layer alignment and arrangement and everything there.
All right, cool. So hopping into Photoshop.
Let's hop into Photoshop, man. Let's do it.
All right, awesome.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, so here we've opened the, our two files in Photoshop. And as you can see over here in the right-hand panel, this is going to be your layers panel. And Photoshop just sets these up with, in chronological order. And so this here is showing my brighter layer, or the foreground layer, as I'm going to call this for the peak, at the top. I like to have my brighter layer below the dark layer or the sky layer. So I'm just going to go ahead and click and drag these into the order I like. And let's go ahead and select both of these guys by shift clicking or command control click on the layers that you want. And going up to edit, auto align, because what we want to do is we want to make sure that, as Adam and I, we were talking about, you don't want to move your camera at all. Things happen, you might bump it. But the idea here is that if you've done a little shifting, this is where Photoshop is going to catch any of those misalignments, and it's going to take and just align the peaks together, so then you can blend them together. So auto align, and then going with auto on your projection, and okay, don't worry about vignette or geometric. This is going to do that script. It's just going to take and it's going to put these two together, and there you go. You've got them side by side, top and bottom, and you can now, on layer visibility, check each one of those. So
looking good.
Looking good, eh? So the next step here really is, how do we take and how do we put the sky on top, or with this foreground here, the twilight hour, the blue hour that I photographed this scene here, how do I put them together? How do we get a real simple click, 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 and be done with it? So that's where Photoshop has this really amazing, like tool, and it's just called Select and Mask. And so let's go up to the top. We have our layer of 3805, or our foreground layer, selected. Let's go up to Select and Mask. This is going to open up our masking panel, or our masking window. And so everything in red here is set as, this is going to be, everything is a mask right now. But what we want to do is we want to take and, if you will, eliminate the sky from this. And so looking at this window here, this upper guy is going to be our quick selection tool. This next is going to be our refine tool. It's going to help us fix anything that the first one does not catch up in this section of the window, of the panel. So off in this right-hand side though, this is where I like to have these settings. So selecting overlay of all of them here, I do prefer overlay. Radius, 1 or 2 or 3 pixels. I like just one, generally works really well. And that's just kind of the cutoff line, if you will. It just really gives a sharper, cleaner, just cutoff on when we mask it. Smoothness, feather, contrast, shift edge. Don't worry about these right now. We don't want to worry about any of that. It's not necessary. We don't want to smooth anything. We want this to be a really hard line. The big guy here though is selection. Make sure that you have this set to selection, because then it'll set up to where we can then save it, and that will be the next step. So coming into this guy here, making sure that you have this top selected, let's increase our brush size a little bit. I'm going to just click and drag through the frame, left to right to left, doesn't matter, but you'll see how Photoshop here does a really great job of picking a hard line.
I mean, it got almost everything with one click.
Got it all for the most part. So you see this little area in here where you can't really, you know, you kind of see it's like, hey, it missed a little bit of the foreground of the sky. It kind of mixed it up. So, you know, coming up, selecting on a refine edge, let's go ahead and let's get that guy. And it's Photoshop is going to know that this is what we want to get rid of just by clicking on it. And
clean that up nice.
Clean that up really nice. Just a simple little click there. Let's clean this up out of this area here. And it's so smart that if it, for example, missed some of the peak and this were black in this area, if you just click on that, it's going to know that you want to add more of the mask. And it's so smart to know that if you're in the sky and you want to get rid of it, you click in the sky and you're rid of the sky. It's really, really pretty incredible. So we're just cleaning this up a little bit, getting rid of that area there.
Yeah, I mean, I think this too goes kind of into the detail that it takes really to edit an image and have it be really, really sharp is kind of this attention to detail of making sure that, okay, it didn't miss anything. Because, I mean, this is something that you could easily just kind of gloss over and be like, ah, it's good enough.
It's good enough. And right. And when you're doing these edits like this, and depending on the level at which you want to have your image output and your, you know, your editing and like the level of the edit that you want to have, this is where just coming in here and cleaning this up, you know, and now looking at this, I would say that this is really good. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, just kind of give it once over, and I'm going to go ahead and just okay and get this out, you know, get this here. Now you've got it. Marching ants, you can see it going around the upper border, the two sides, and along the peaks there on the horizon line. So we've got that. That's perfect. So what we need to do is we just need to save this selection. And that is back up in the select, save selection, and we just want to call this sky. That's it. We've got that saved. The beauty, and this is the next step, and this is kind of one of those things we're going to cover, you know, I'll talk about it now, but when you come over and you click on channels, you see that you have sky down here. And so what we've done is we've created a new channel. And so now if we ever lose this in here, so if I do Command D or Control D, that's going to deselect that selection, that sky. If we ever need to bring that back, coming over into channels, coming down and doing Command or Control clicking, that's gonna just reapply it to the photograph right where we need it. And that's exactly what we need and what we want. So with that selected, the sky, I'm gonna go ahead and just overlay this guy here. And now you see the sky, you see the marching ants really well, and it's going to be just a click. That's all you do. You just simply click on the add vector mask down here at the bottom. So I'll redo that here just to kind of recap that. But that is just throwing on and getting rid of the, you know, that foreground and blending the two together. And now though is when we have to then go through and do more of that fine tuning. But so stepping back here, I'm going to just go up to my history panel. Let's go back to this step right here. We've got our selection. We have our foreground selected. We're going to select our sky. And now with the marching ant selected in the sky, we have our sky layer selected here, 821. You come down here to the vector mask or the mask right here, and simply clicking on this is going to remove that foreground of the sky image and inlay, put in that foreground layer of our blue hour image. So that is a selected mask, and also how to blend, you know, these two. And this is just really like kind of like step one. And now comes the editing portion of that. And so what we'll do in the next video is talk a little bit about how we can take and, you know, I'm gonna zoom in here, but cleaning up this edge line here that didn't get picked up perfectly. And then, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Cause you know, you kind of look at this and it does look like it's Photoshopped, you know, for lack of a better term. So I think it'll be great next week. Yeah. You kind of talk through how to kind of refine some of this. So that way you've taken this step and now you're taking kind of your editing to the next level of from something that's Photoshop to really a blended image that works well together.
Exactly. And we'll, And that's going to be a little more in depth next week. But I'm excited for that because, you know, like I said, so much of this is based on, you know, so many photographers today, we love night work and I love it. And it's just knowing how to make these look real, because like you said, you don't want it to look hacked or Photoshopped specifically. You want it to look like how the human eye sees it when you're there standing in person. So
we'll cover that. I think, you know, every image is Photoshopped. You just don't want it to look like that. You want it to look like the piece of art that you're intending it to look like.
Yep, exactly. Just like your architectural work, just like my landscape work, you know, even portraits, you know, there's a lot of touch-ups and things that go into that too. And it's just really kind of, you know, you want it to look natural, and that's what we're going for. In my landscape work, I really aim for natural and real. Just as if someone were to be standing there, they wouldn't think that I stretched these peaks and I made them look fake or I did some weird stuff, you know, so.
But yeah, so we'll talk about that another time, but back to this, and then we can kind of start to wrap things up for our audience. But I think the nice thing about this is that this works well for the night sky, and this technique can really work to replace any skies, daytime or anything.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and do a stop share here, get out of my, you know, my sharing of the screens.
Cool.
Come back to us.
Back to us. Thanks, Joe. That was really fun and cool to listen to.
Yeah, man. You bet. Yeah. And these are, you know, these are over the years of just me trial and error, spending a ton of time doing it previously. And now I've gotten, you know, to this point and learning it better. So next week we'll go into some of my secret tips, if you will.
Ooh, secret tips. That sounds That sounds like it's an episode that folks are going to have to tune in for.
I think so. All right. Cool, man. Well, dude, this was great. Thanks so much.
No, thanks for talking through it. I appreciate it. And hopefully this is something, again, that's useful for our audience. Again, while this was a focus was on night photography and replacing that sky, something that you could use for really any sky replacement, that select and mask tool is a pretty powerful tool within Photoshop.
Yeah. You know, I remember, Adam, you did a little tutorial on it a year or two ago, I think, you know, on for some architectural work on how to like mask in a different sky. And then it still must, like, I don't know, sometimes people are using the Luminar now, whatnot, Luminar 4 to do some of that. But like, this is the way of, you know, from my knowledge, is kind of how you used to do it. And I use luminosity masks and that can work with it too. But I just love a simple, you know, select a mask. It works so well.
Yeah, it gives you that control for sure. So it's nice.
It does. Yep.
Cool. Well, yeah. Is that it? We're good?
That's it for me here today. You know, I just let you get going and I'll get back to work and doing the things that we do.
Sounds good. Well, thanks everyone as always for tuning in. We truly do appreciate it. You're watching us on YouTube at InFocus Videocast. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, and all of your favorite podcast locations if you want to take us on the go at InFocus Videocast. And please do email us as well to InFocusVideocast@gmail.com. We want to hear your feedback, topics, questions. We want this to be as useful as possible for everyone tuning in. So if there's topics you want us to hit on or some editing tip or trick, something that you want us to go into, please do reach out and let us know. And we're happy to share our knowledge.
Totally. And that's what we love about this video cast and what we're doing here is that, you know, it's not scripted. It's just, you know, kind of, it's just, we're here, we're doing it right now. So, if you know, and we're not following, you know, much of a recipe, if you will. So if there are topics that you like Adam said, we could cover, let us know.
Cool. Well, awesome, man. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you doing the deep dive for everyone today. And
yeah, man.
I enjoy catching up with you. It's always fun seeing you since travel is still at a standstill. Thank you, COVID-19. And we'll do this again next week.
I know. Yeah, dude. Awesome.
Thanks, Evan, for tuning in.
Yep. Thanks, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.